Our subject tonight is the New Testament Sabbath. My beloved friends, we've been together now for over a week. We love each other, don't we? You're going to hear something tonight, some of you, that you've not known before. And I want to tell you at the outset that we present God's truth with compassion and love. I want you to know that God never sends truth to embarrass. He sends truth to enlighten and to save. Amen. And you are absolutely free in our services. You don't have to do anything you don't want to do. Permit me then to begin with an allegory. You know what an allegory is? It is said that one day truth had an appointment in a certain town where people were very anxiously waiting for him. And it was a hot day, and Truth was walking along a dusty, narrow road toward those people who were waiting. And finally, the heat was almost unbearable, and as Truth was going along, he saw through the woods a pond. And Truth thought, "I think I'll take a swim and cool off in this heat." So Truth went aside and pulled off his lovely white clothes and hung them up on the boughs of the trees and jumped in the water and was just enjoying himself. But you know, wherever Truth goes, Lie goes. And Lie heard that Truth was going into town, and so he came along following. And he too was caught in the heat, and when he finally came to the place where he saw the pond, he thought, "I'll go aside and take a swim and cool off a little bit." And so he went over to get ready to jump in the pond, and suddenly he saw Truth's clothes hanging on the tree. And Lie, being sneaky, got an idea. He said, "I'm going to let the swim go. I'm going to simply steal Truth's clothes." So he pulled off his old raggedy clothes and threw them on the ground, and he put on the lovely clothes of Truth, and he got back out in the road, and he went walking on into town. The people were anxious for Truth to come, and when they saw this thing coming, they began to rejoice. "Here comes the Truth! Here comes the Truth!" Until finally, a perceptive elder amongst them said, "No, hold it, people. Hold it. That's not the Truth. That's a Lie with Truth's clothes on." And after a while, Truth got through with his swim and came out intending to get dressed and going into town. And when he got out, he noticed his clothes were gone. And he's very disappointed. And he wondered where they could be. And as he looked around, he saw the old ragged garments of a Lie. And Truth decided, "Before I wear that, I won't wear anything." So he just started down the road as he was. And when the people saw him coming, they began to rejoice and shout, and they cried out, "Look, folks, here he comes, the naked Truth." And beloved, here it comes. In the book of Genesis, chapter 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And then the Bible tells us what God made on what day. The Bible says that on the first day, God made light. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And the Bible says that was the first day. Then on the second day, God established the firmament. And on the third day, God separated the water from the land and created vegetation. On the fourth day, God made the sun, the moon, and the stars, the Bible says. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And on the fifth day, God created the birds and the fishes. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And on the sixth day of the creation of this world, God created the majestic animals and beasts that people the fields and the forests. And then after all of this was prepared, on the sixth day, that same day, God said, "Let us make man in our own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them." The crowning act of God's creation was the creation of man, and it's so significant for you to believe that man was made by God. He did not come from a monkey. Made in God's image. And that was the sixth day of the history of the world. And in the latter verses of Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says, "And God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." And now the earth is full and complete, and everything is here for man's enjoyment and for his sustenance. Everything man needs in order to carry out God's will is now created for him, gleaming in all of its Edenic perfection. And God himself said, "That's good." And now we come to the first seventh day of the history of the world. And I'm reading to you from Genesis chapter 2. Beginning with verse 1, I want you to listen, please. "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." And my beloved friends, in the beginning, on the first seventh day of the history of the world, the great God of heaven created the Sabbath day. Now I want you to think with me and follow me, because I know that you've wondered how we happen to come up with two. And I know you've wondered why you hear people with contempt say, "Oh, the seventh day is the Jewish Sabbath." I want you to think now. When God made man on the sixth day, how many people were on earth? Everybody. How many? What were their names? Were they Jews?
No.
When God made man, he made Adam and Eve, and they were not Jews. There were no Jews for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. God never made the Sabbath for the Jew. He made it for Adam and Eve. There were only two people alive. And this Sabbath, which God created, has since that time been a living memorial of God's creative power and a spiritual privilege for all who love him. And God has commanded us to keep holy the seventh day. There were three things that God did in order to create the Sabbath. The first thing he did was to rest. Was God tired? The Bible says God neither slumbers nor sleeps. The Bible says he does not get weary. So God was not tired. That's not why he rested. He rested to set a divine precedent, an example, and to commune with Adam and Eve. The first day they spent together was a day of worship and fellowship with God and each other. he rested. Secondly, the Bible says he blessed it. Now, God didn't do that to any other day. He blessed the Sabbath and sanctified. That word sanctified, we explained to you the night we talked about getting religion, means to make holy. You take a thing out of its ordinary use and set it apart strictly for a sacred use. That's what sanctification is. That's what the Lord does to us when we are converted. He separates us from the world, from the maddening, worldly, sinful crowd, and sets us aside and calls us his own. And we ought to be then holy people and witnesses for God. So these three acts of God were involved in the creation of the Sabbath. He rested, he blessed the day, and then he set it apart, sanctified it, and remember, there were no Jews, only Adam and Eve. God made the Sabbath then a command, and he commanded his people to observe it and remember it, indicating the danger of forgetting. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 20, and beginning with verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For, now here's why. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. In the command, God says, I want you to remember the Sabbath. Why, Lord? Because I am the God who in 6 days made heaven and earth. And beloved, the fact that our God created the heavens and the earth sets him apart from all idol gods. No men who call themselves God can create anything. And certainly no gods of wood and stone and silver and gold can create anything. Man has always dishonored God by worshiping false gods. God says now, if you want always to keep in mind that I am the true God who in 6 days made heaven and earth, then remember the Sabbath. And every time you keep it, you will be honoring the true God. That's why a true Sabbath keeper can never be an atheist or an agnostic or an idolater or an infidel or a skeptic. It is impossible to doubt God or to not believe in God when you keep a day every week in his honor. That's why the devil despises the Sabbath. My beloved, this Sabbath that God so esteemed as to make it a written command for all mankind was still binding when time reached its finger into the New Testament. I want to read to you from the book of Luke, and I'm going to read from chapter 23 and verse 56. Please listen. The Bible says, and they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now that was the time that Christ was buried. If you read the previous verses, it talks about Jesus being taken down and buried. And it says the disciples put him in the tomb and then went home to prepare spices and ointments to anoint his body. But because he died on Good Friday, and because the sun was setting, they wouldn't even go and anoint the body of Jesus for fear they would disobey him. So they kept the Sabbath instead. And on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulcher, bringing the spices with them, which they had prepared, and certain others with them, and found the stone rolled away. And we know that Jesus had risen. Please listen carefully, even if it's something you never heard. And let me tell you something. I remember when I heard it for the first time. Listen, the Sabbath is the Sabbath of the Lord. And it is to be a time when we commune with Him in a special way and fellowship with each other in a special way and rejoice in the Lord in a special way. But it's also a time of physical rest from temporal problems and temporal labor. And we need this. The reason so many people are uptight and getting ulcers and heart attacks and explode every time you step on their toes, the reason many husbands and wives are always screaming at one another is they are under the hammer 7 days a week. You need one day when you're not worrying about the house note. You need one day when you're not worrying about bills. You need one day when collectors don't knock on your door because you've told them not to. You need one day when you don't have to worry about who's fighting who in the Middle East. Would you say amen? God gave it not to be a problem, but a privilege. And human nature needs an opportunity to regroup and recoup and become refreshed in order to face another week with all its problems, its vicissitudes, its bills, its hard work. Let me repeat again, the Sabbath is supposed to be a great privilege for God's people, and those who keep it know that it is. Now God says, I want you to remember it. Why, Lord? Because if you remember it, it is a sign that I am the true God. In Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 12 and 20, God said, hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye might know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. You know, that's precious. Now, ladies and gentlemen, God has been good to me, and because He has been, I've had the privilege of speaking to large audiences. Now, it doesn't really matter so much whether it's large or small, but I can tell you one thing. When you stand up like this and look out at 25,000 people, you get nervous. And when I first started, you know, I remember how I used to be just like this. Well, I don't want to be sticky about this, but the Lord blessed me mightily with a good wife. And whenever I preach, she's not out in the lobby talking. She's not in the back. She's always down front where I can see her. Always. Now, I can't see her tonight because that light's up there. I can't see anybody. But I know she's down front somewhere. I remember once when I was about to face such an audience, my wife said to me, honey, I'm going to be sitting where you can see me. And when you look out into that great audience and see me, I'm going to wink my eye. And that means that I love you and I'm praying for you. Now, isn't that sweet? That was something just between us, don't you see? If someone else had seen her winking eye, they wouldn't know what was going on. Because it was not meant for anyone else. It was a sign between me and the one I love. And it was just between us and only until I told you. Would you have known what it meant? God said, hallow my Sabbaths, and they'll be just between you and me, that ye might know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Would you say amen? Now, beloved, the devil knows full well the meaning of the Sabbath. And every time God has given something to man as a blessing, the devil has come up with a counterfeit. God gave marriage, the devil came up with common law and shacking up. Isn't that right? And God gave the Sabbath, And the devil knew that the Sabbath honored God. Now, he had said up in heaven, I'm going to be God. So if God has a day, then I got to come up with a day. In order to detract from the worship of the true God, he seeks to nullify everything that honors God. And he has twisted and misconstrued the word so that tonight most of the Christian world is shamefully breaking God's Sabbath every week and don't even know it. And God in his mercy has to send the truth. Now, let's go on. That's why he teaches that God's law is done away with. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the folks who say that don't mean it. I quoted the law to you very briefly the other night. Nearly every Christian church you can think of believes in 9 commandments. Did you hear me? There is one big church that believes in 8. They don't want the law done away with. There is only one command that bothers them. And in an effort to set it aside, they are willing to say at least, the whole thing is done away with. I think we've taken care of that from the Word of God, haven't we? Now let's look at it again. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Every Christian church you know of believes that. The second commandment says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images and bow down to them. All the Christian churches except one believe that. The third commandment says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. All Christian churches believe that. The next one says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I'm coming back to that one. The next one says, honor thy father and thy mother. All churches believe that you ought to do that. The next one says, thou shalt not kill. Every church in town believes that. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Every church in town believes that. Thou shalt not steal. Every church in town believes that. Thou shalt not bear false witness or lie. Every church in town believes that. Thou shalt not covet. Every church in town. So they don't really believe that the law is done away with. If you think they do, then go to their church and steal. There's only one that bothers them, and that's the fourth commandment, which I quoted to you already. And yet they say the law is done away with. James 2:10, incidentally, James wrote in about A.D. 44. A.D. 44. Jesus had been dead, raised, and gone to heaven for years. In A.D. 44, James said in chapter 2 and verse 10, if you keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, you are guilty of how much? All. We read that last night over and over. Well, did Jesus come to change the law? Matthew 5:17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law of the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. Would you say amen? Then he goes on to say, whosoever therefore shall break one. Break how many? I'm quoting. You ought to write that down and look at it. Verse 18. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Would you say amen? Now I'm going to read to you from Luke chapter 16 and verse 17. These are the words of the Christ they claim came to change the Sabbath. And this is what it says. It is easier, Jesus said this, it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. What's a tittle? In the Hebrew characters, it was like the crossing of a T. In Matthew 5:18, he said, not one jot or tittle. A jot is like the dot above an I. Jesus said, it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than for the crossing of a T in my law to fail. Ladies and gentlemen, if you ever doubt that God's law is still in effect, go outside and take your foot and kick the ground. If it's still there, the law is still binding. If the heavens are still up there, the law is still in place. Would you say amen out there? Now men, who? Men have declared that Sunday, the first day of the week, is the Sabbath, and they call it the Lord's Day. Let's see what the Bible says, and don't be upset. Thank God for the truth. Mark chapter 2, verse 27. Jesus is speaking. Write it down. Mark 2:27. And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Christ is Lord of the Sabbath. The commandment itself says, the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. So which day is the Lord's day? The Sabbath. In Isaiah 58 and verse 13, God said these words, and I'm going to turn to it and read it in your hearing. I wish you'd write it down. Isaiah chapter 58, and I'm beginning with verse 13. The Bible says, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, my day, the Sabbath, if you turn away your foot from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shalt honor him, not finding thine own ways, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. So the Bible says that the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. I've got a surprise for you on the screen, and so I'll wait until then. There are some folk who say, well, it doesn't matter which day you keep. Suppose I were a young single man, and you had seven lovely daughters. And I came to you and said, sir, I want to marry one of your daughters. And you turned to me and said, which one? I said, well, anyone. You would run me away from your house, wouldn't you? God didn't say keep a Sabbath. He said keep the Sabbath. And you learned in the fourth grade that the is a definite article identifying a specific person, place, or thing. Now, if I say bring me a book, you'd bring me just any book. But if I say bring me the book, you know I'm referring to a specific book. Isn't that right? The Bible says the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Now, let's identify the day, and let's be intelligent about it. If you read the dictionary, it will tell you that the seventh day is the Jewish Sabbath. I want to quote Jesus now. I don't know anyone who can straighten us out better than Jesus. Mark 2:27, I just read it. Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for M-A-N. Isn't that a strange way to spell Jew? Come on now. The Sabbath was made for whom? Man. Now, I'm black, but I'm a man. Amen. Nothing about any Jew. There were only two people alive when the Sabbath was made, Adam and Eve, and they were not Jews. Amen. Now, let's take these things one at a time. If you look in an almanac, if you look in on your calendar, in a dictionary, or in the encyclopedia, everyone will tell you that the seventh day of the week is Saturday. But here's what we want to do. We want to find the true Sabbath in the New Testament. I'm not going to ask anybody to keep the Old Testament Sabbath. The New Testament. Now, how can we locate it? Matthew chapter 28 and verse 1 says, in the end, E-N-D, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Now, everybody knows that refers to the resurrection of our Lord. And every child in school knows that Jesus died on Good what? And he rose on Easter what? And that's the first day of the week. Everybody knows that. And the Bible says, in the end of the Sabbath, it ended.
When they came, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, and by the way, none of the New Testament was written for years after Christ had gone back to heaven. It is believed that Mark wrote his book first. All right, let's see if we can find it somewhere else. We need more than one witness, don't we? In Luke chapter 23, I'm going to begin with verse 54, and I'm going to read through verse 1 of chapter 24. Now listen to it. Luke chapter 23, and I'm going to begin with verse 54. Now listen, I'm going to read fast. And that day was the preparation. Talking about the day Jesus died now. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after, and beheld the sepulchre, and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandments. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and found the stone rolled away. There it is again. The day Jesus died was the preparation. He died on good what? And the Sabbath drew on. And this was written years after Christ had gone back to heaven. If there had been a change, he would have known by now. And then it says that after they kept the Sabbath, on the first day of the week, they came to anoint his body. Oh, but wait a minute. Let's get one more witness. I'm going to St. Mark. What book did I say? And I'm going to read Mark 15:42. I want you to listen, please, as I read Mark 15 and verse 42. This is what the Bible says. Listen. And now when the evening was come, because it was the preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead. And calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew of it, of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he bought fine linen, and took it down, and wrapped him in linen, and laid him in a sepulchre which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulchre. And Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph beheld where he was laid. Chapter 16, verse 1. Listen. And when the Sabbath was past, when the Sabbath was what? When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came to the sepulchre and the stone was rolled away. Beloved, that's clear. Good Friday, the day before the Sabbath, the Bible says. Sunday, the first day of the week, after the Sabbath was passed. Like a slice of bread, Good Friday. Like a slice of bread, Easter Sunday. And like the cheese in the middle, the best part of all, the Sabbath of the Lord. Jesus died on Good Friday, kept the Sabbath by resting in the tomb on the seventh day, and rose up on the first day of the week, which the Bible calls Sunday. The first day of the week, Easter Sunday. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's look at one or two other things. What day did Jesus keep when he was here? Now, I think we can be safe doing what Jesus did, don't you? Luke 4:16, write it down. The Bible says, and he came to Nazareth. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Jesus had a custom of going to church on the Sabbath. In Matthew chapter 24, if you begin with verse 1, you will discover that the disciples had asked Christ about some signs concerning the destruction of Jerusalem and the end of the world. Jesus began to give these signs, and he said, not one stone will be left standing upon another. It's going to be so severe and so much bloodshed that you who follow me and believe in my word, when you see a certain sign, flee from Jerusalem. Now in verse 20, Jesus as a prophet said, pray that your flight be not in the wintertime, neither on the Sabbath day. Amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to ask you a question. Was Jesus a prophet? Could he see the future? Now, Jerusalem was destroyed in A.D. 70, almost 40 years after Christ died. Almost how many years? And yet, when Jesus looked into the future 40 years, he still respected the Sabbath. He said, you're going to have to run for your lives if you're on the housetop. Don't even come back to get your stuff. And that's the word the Bible uses. He said, flee from where you are. If you're out in the field plowing and you see this sign, Jerusalem surrounded with armies, don't come back to your house to get your family. Flee for your life and pray that you don't have to flee in the wintertime nor on the Sabbath. Why? Because in the winter, there was no hospitality. In the spring and summer and autumn, you could eat out of the fields freely. It was allowed in those days in that part of the world. But in the wintertime, people had only enough for themselves. Jesus said it will be hard on you if you have to go in winter. And also, pray that you don't have to run on the Sabbath, because there will be things involved that are not in harmony with good Sabbath keeping. May I give you a bit of history now, looking back? They fled on a Wednesday in October, A.D. 70. And they went to a town called Pella. And when the Romans destroyed Jerusalem under the general Titus, not one Christian died. Let's say amen out there. So Jesus respected the Sabbath, looking 40 years into the future. I've got to hurry now. What day did the disciples keep? If Christ changed it, certainly by that time they would know all about that. I'm reading Acts chapter 13 and verse 14. The Bible says these words, Acts 13:14. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. These disciples were still keeping the Sabbath. But somebody says the only reason they went on the Sabbath was that they might be able to talk to the Jews. Let's read Acts 18 and verse 4. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. Let's say amen. That takes care of that one, doesn't it? And then when we read Acts chapter 20 and verse 27, the Bible says these words, beloved, listen. It says, Paul speaking, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Paul said, I've declared how much of the counsel of God? All. Now, I want to shock you. There are more than 140 references to the seventh-day Sabbath in the Bible, and not one indicating the first day of the week is holy. That ought to shock you. That would make me think, Paul, if you've declared all the counsel of God, and if the Sabbath has been changed, then why didn't you say something about it? There is not even a hint, ladies and gentlemen. So clear am I on that, that tonight I am prepared to offer $200,000 to anybody who can find one text in the Bible that tells us to keep Sunday. Now, beloved, not only will I give you the money, you can have my car, you can have my van, you can have my house, you can have everything except my wife. And on Sunday, I'll join your church. If you don't believe it, find the text. And you may get your pastor to help you. And I'm not trying to be facetious. I'd like for him to think too. But somebody says, we don't know whether the days are mixed up or not. After all, didn't man name the days? That's right. Man named Sunday after the sun because he worshipped it. He named Monday after the moon because he worshipped that. Tuesday after Twi, Wednesday after Woden, Thursday after Thunor, the thunder god, Friday after Frigga, the wife of Odin and the founder of culture and art, and Saturday after the planet Saturn. Man gave to these days names in honor of pagan gods. God never named any days. He numbered them. He said, remember the seventh day. The first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, seventh day. Well, now, since man named it, how do we know they haven't gotten mixed up? Well, first of all, did God change the Sabbath? Jesus said, I didn't come to do that.
And now I'm quoting the Word of God, Ecclesiastes 3, 14 and 15. You ought to write this one down. It says, I know, I'm quoting it verbatim, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God requireth that which is past. God didn't name them, he numbered them. And the Bible says, what God does shall be forever. In 1 Chronicles 17:27, the Bible says, thou blessest, O Lord, and it shall be blessed forever. Let everybody say amen out there. And in Malachi 3 and verse 6, God said, I am the Lord, I change not. Would you say amen out there? Now, ladies and gentlemen, as quickly as I can, I just want to show you a little demonstration here. I'm going to try to get these glasses to stand up here so that you all can see them. Let's see, that's 3 and this is 4. Let me put them a little closer together. And you just watch while I continue to put these glasses up there. I need 3 more. That's 5, 6, and now there's one more that equals 7. They can be seen there, I think, Bob. Let me have that picture now. And I thank you. All right. Now, I just want to make a little demonstration, and I want you to watch it very carefully, because I want you to remember this lesson as long as you shall live. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth, and on the first day, God said, let there be light, and there was light. So that represents the first day. Okay? Then on the second day, God made the firmament, so I'm going to make this one represent that. All right, that's the second day. Then on the third day, God separated the land from the water and created vegetation, so that's the third day right there. See? Now on the fourth day, the Bible tells us that God made the sun, the moon, and the stars, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day, and that's the fourth day. Now on the fifth day, God made the birds and the fishes, and he filled the seas and the streams with life. And that represents the fifth day, don't you see? Then on the sixth day, God made beasts of the field, and after that, the crowning act of creation, God said, let us make man in our own image, and then God made them male and female, and then came the seventh day. Let's say amen out there. Now they all look pretty much alike, don't they? And when you look at them, I can see why people say, well, what difference does a day make? Getting one day like another? But you know, there were some things that God did to that seventh day that he didn't do to any other. The Bible says the first thing God did was to bless it. Don't you see? And I just read to you where it says, thou blessest, O Lord, and it shall be blessed forever. Would you say amen out there? Thou blessest, and it shall be blessed forever. And then the next thing the Bible says about it is that God on that day rested. So I want to put a little something in there to represent rest. And then he didn't do that on any other day. And then the last thing that the record says is that on the seventh day, God sanctified it. Would you say amen? Now, ladies and gentlemen, 3 things God did on the seventh day he didn't do on Sunday or Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday. All of these were just working days. And God said, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day, I did something special for that. And I just want to ask you a question tonight. Can you see a difference now? You ought to taste the difference. You ought to just try it. And you don't keep Sabbath the way everybody else keeps Sunday. You don't go to the ball game on Sabbath. You don't mow the lawn on Sabbath. You don't pay the insurance man on Sabbath. It's sweet. Let's say amen out there. I can hardly wait from one Sabbath to another for the blessings of God's presence to come. Now I want the lights to go out, and I ask you, please, to pray. Because you're going to see something that you never thought you'd see in all the days of your life. And I'm going to go as fast as I can. Ladies and gentlemen, God created marriage in the Garden of Eden. He also created the Sabbath before there was ever such a thing as a Jew. Would you say amen out there? Now, ladies and gentlemen, we've already read this. I'm just going to look at it again. It says that God rested
from all his work which he created and made.
And the Bible says the Sabbath was made for M-A-N. What does that spell?
That does not spell Jew. Then it says, thou blessest, O Lord, and it shall be blessed forever. He hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. God did it, and man can't change it. Would you say amen? Now, ladies and gentlemen, God gave the manna in the wilderness to reestablish the weekly cycle for folks who had forgotten it. Some people say, well, that was only for the Jews. It didn't start until Sinai. Sinai is in chapter 19 of Exodus. In chapter 16, you read of the manna. And that manna fell down every day of the week except on the Sabbath. Every time it fell, that was a miracle. When it didn't fall on Sabbath, that was another miracle. Now, if people got lazy on the third day of the week and tried to gather enough to last the fourth, the Bible says worms got in it and it stank. But when they gathered on the sixth day of the week for the Sabbath, it stayed sweet and fresh. Another miracle. Now, they were out there for 40 years eating manna. Now, let's see what we read here. Israel kept the seventh day Sabbath for 40 years, and it was outlined every week by the falling of the manna, 6 days and none on the Sabbath, and by it staying fresh over the Sabbath only. These miracles were performed every week for 40 years. Now, there are 52 weeks to a year. That makes 2,080 Sabbaths in the wilderness. And these miracles came every week. Manna came in double portion on Friday. Manna was preserved over the Sabbath, and none fell on the Sabbath. If there are 2,080 Sabbaths times three miracles, that's 6,240 miracles which God wrought to reestablish his weekly Sabbath. And he said, I've done it to see if you will obey me or not. Would you say amen out there? So when somebody tells you it all started at Mount Sinai, you go read your Bible. In chapter 16, God started raining the manna. In chapter 20, he gave the Sabbath on Mount Sinai. The Bible says when Jesus was here, as was his custom, he went in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. In Matthew 5:17, he said, think not that I've come to destroy the law of the prophets. In Acts 17:2, the Bible says Paul had a habit of going to church on the Sabbath. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath. He went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, the Bible says. Mark 15:42, and now when the evening was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea begged the body of Christ. Then it says, and when the Sabbath was past, gone, very early in the morning, the first day of the week. That's clear, isn't it, folks? All right, let's go on now. In Luke chapter 23, and that day was the preparation, the day Jesus died. And the Sabbath drew on. He died on good what? And what day draws on as Friday ends? The seventh day of the week. And then on the first day of the week, they went to the sepulchre and found that Jesus had risen. There it is. Some people say, but we keep it in honor of his resurrection. I would too if he told me to. All I ask you to do is find me a text. Well, does Jesus want us to forget his death? No. In nearly every church, there's a table down front with these words carved on it. This do in remembrance of me. What? Holy Communion. He gave communion as a memorial of his death and resurrection. He gave baptism as a memorial of his death and resurrection. Not a new Sabbath. Would you say amen out there? Ladies and gentlemen, let's go on. Now, he died on Friday, he rested on the Sabbath, he rose on Sunday. Everybody knows that. Let's rush along now. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and they find that one text, and say, there it is, that proves it. Well, I've already shown you that the Lord's Day is a Sabbath. The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. In Exodus 20 and verse 10, it says the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. Now, would you like to know where it first came from to call Sunday the Lord's Day? I'm going to show you. Lucium, a Catholic historian, says, now you can read this in the library. You don't have to get that from me. He said, in the year 325, that's 325 years after Christ. In the year 325, Sylvester, the Bishop of Rome, from 314 to 337 A.D., officially changed the title of the first day, calling it the Lord's Day. Surprise? I know. God sends the light, not to embarrass, but to enlighten and to save.
Would you say amen? How did it get to be called the Lord's Day? A Catholic Pope named it that. Hundreds of years after Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and all the rest were gone.
All right, let's go on.
And here's the surprise. I'm going to read it, and you can check it yourselves. In fact, folks, if you went to a good library and got a good religious encyclopedia, you can read all this. It's there.
Dr. H.J. Flowers of the Church of England, that's the Anglican Church, said, "The Sabbath is commanded to be kept on the seventh day. It could not be kept on any other day." That's from his Book of Sermons, page 131. Now from the United Brethren, this is what they say. "The obligation to obey the fourth commandment is as perpetual, binding, and universal as it is to obey the first commandment. The Holy Scriptures alone teach the way and the only way to salvation. We recognize no other standard." That's from Confessions of Faith of the United Brethren Church, pages 57 and 58. Surprise? Here's another. "Methodist Episcopals say..." I can't see that. Push that slide over this way just a little bit. "Methodist Episcopals say that Jesus observed the Hebrew Sabbath, which was from sunset on Friday to sunset on Saturday. Strictly speaking, the Sabbath means Saturday." That's what Methodist Episcopals say. Now a Lutheran leader, Reverend Beilenberg, said, June 20, 1933, "There is no command in the Bible to keep Sunday as a day of rest. Why do we keep Sunday? The seventh day is not the first." A Lutheran. And now, again, the same man. "If you tell me that the provisions for the Sabbath Saturday are brought over to Sunday, then I will challenge you to show me one proof passage, one word of the Bible to prove this." And beloved, I'm saying this kindly. I ask you to think about it. It is not there. All right, let's see what someone else has to say. Reverend R.W. Dale, a Congregationalist minister, said, "It is quite clear that however rigidly or devoutly we may spend Sunday, we are not keeping the Sabbath." Another, Dr. Donald Frazier, Presbyterian. You notice I'm covering the field, aren't I? Dr. Donald Frazier says, "There is not the slightest evidence that our Lord or his apostles regarded or taught others to regard the first day of the week." And now from Dr. Edward T. Hiscox, the author of the Baptist Manual. Dr. Hiscox says, "It will be said, however, that the Sabbath was transferred from the seventh to the first day of the week. Earnestly desiring information on this subject, I ask, where can a record of such a transaction be found? Not in the New Testament. Absolutely not." Isn't that something? Let's see if he had something else to say. Dr. Edward Hiscox, author of the Baptist Manual, says, "To me, it seems unaccountable that Jesus, during 3 years intercourse with his disciples, never alluded to the transference of the day. Also, that during 40 days of his resurrection life, no such thing was intimated." That's what a Baptist had to say. And now a Catholic, Father T. Enright, president of Redemptorist College, says, "Sunday is not the Sabbath. Any schoolboy knows that Sunday is the first day of the week." You know, after disturbing you with a sermon like this, I think I owe it to you to tell you clearly who changed the Sabbath, when it was changed, and by what authority. How many of you agree I ought to do that? With irrefutable proof, I'm going to preach that sermon. If God lets me live, I'm going to take one of these sermons away that I have. I'm going to preach that sermon to you. In fact, I'm going to announce when it will be preached tomorrow night. You owe it to yourself to know. Now, if you want to hold on after you know, then that's up to you. And I want you to feel free in my meeting. You're welcome. Nobody's going to twist your arm. And I'm not going to insult anybody because I used to keep Sunday. Until I found the light of truth. And I understand. My granddaddy was a Methodist preacher and a good one.
Three of my uncles were. My brother-in-law is one of my best friends. So please don't feel offended. The truth is never sent for that reason. How many of you believe I'm sincere? Would you say amen? All right. I'm going to show you who changed it. But a Catholic priest says Sunday's not the Sabbath. Any schoolboy knows that Sunday's the first day of the week. The Catholic author Vincent J. Kelly says, the fact, however, that Christ, until his death, and the apostles, at least for a time after Christ's ascension, observed the Sabbath, is evidence enough that our Lord himself did not substitute the Lord's day for the Sabbath during his lifetime on earth. And now, beloved, we believe in harmony with Bible chronologists that the earth was created sometime around 4004 B.C., and then God gave the Sabbath in written form around 1491, 15th century B.C. Then Jesus came in A.D. 27. He kept the Sabbath. And today, the Sabbath of the Lord remains. But here is something I want you to see. Isaiah 66, and beginning with verse 22. For as the new heaven and the new earth. Now, I want to pause a minute. Do we have a new heaven and new earth now? So that's still in the future, isn't it? Jesus is going to set up his kingdom in a new earth. How many of you believe that? Say amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, follow me. Christ is not going to take folks to heaven and keep them forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. The Bible says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit what? The earth. God's going to create a new earth. He's going to burn up this one. And on the ashes of this burned up and purified earth, he's going to create a new earth. And the meek shall inherit the earth. How many of you believe that? Say amen. And that is still in the future, isn't it? Now let's read the text. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I shall make or will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, that means new month. That's what the word month means, the change of the moon. From one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. Would you say amen out there? Not only was it kept in the Garden of Eden, not only was it kept by the Jews in Israel, not only was it kept by the Lord and his disciples, not only is it kept today, but when we get to heaven, and then beyond that to the new earth, we're going to keep the Sabbath every Sabbath and worship before the Lord. Would you say amen out there? Oh, beloved, we see then that the Sabbath goes from creation to the new earth. God said, I am the Lord, I change not. Well, why should he change? Well, he declared that everything he did was very good. And the new earth is simply a resumation of the life he intended Adam and Eve to live before sin. And those of us who are with him in the new earth will have everything that they had in the Garden of Eden before sin's tragic interpolation. Oh, beloved, don't you see how clear God's word is? God's plan has been temporarily thwarted by the entrance of sin and the work of the devil. But sin will be destroyed. The devil will be destroyed. And God's going to turn this earth over to the meek just as he intended it before man sinned. And his plan, which began before sin, will be continued. Some people think the Sabbath was a provision because of sin. No, sir. When God gave the Sabbath, there were only Adam and Eve, and there was no sin. Let's say amen out there. And we're going to do it in the new earth. I thank God that his word is clear. Moreover, I gave them Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify them. Ezekiel 20 and verse 12. Ladies and gentlemen, I know that's clear. And even though it's as clear as the sun, there are some people who say I can't see it. Well, may God have mercy on your soul. But you'd better think about it, because God sends his truth to enlighten and to save. And once we know, he sends truth then as a witness against us if we persist in rebellion. Hebrews 4, New Testament. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said,
Verse 4. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. Verse 7. Again, he limited a certain day. And Paul wrote that, and Paul was not even a Christian when Christ went back to heaven. So if he was going to change it, Paul would have known. He wasn't even a disciple then. But he says God limited a certain day, and he spoke of the seventh day on this wise. Now let's read on from Paul's writings. For he spake of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest on the seventh day. There remaineth. There what? Remaineth means there still is. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. Beloved, look at it in your Bible before you cast it aside. It's there in the New Testament. The Sabbath of the Lord remains. God's law cannot be changed. And in Acts 17:30, the Bible says at the times of this ignorance, God winked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. When you didn't know any better, God said, you're my child because you're doing the best you know. When you didn't know, I just wink at it. But now I command all men everywhere to repent. Why now? Because the light has come. The truth has been preached. You know now. And God says, I'm going to hold you responsible. And it comes down to this, beloved. Christ said, I'm Lord of the Sabbath. It's a sign that I am the true God. If you want to honor me, keep my Sabbath day. It comes down to this. Whom shall I serve? Who is my God? We're going to tell you who changed it. Then your choice will be crystal clear. And that message will be as clear as the nose on your face. The children will understand it. Now, I do realize that some hadn't known this before. Some have. All of us here tonight, however, have one purpose in mind, and that is to do God's will by God's grace. Isn't that right? How many of you then understood the subject tonight? Would you say amen? How many of you want to do God's will by God's grace? Would you stand, please, and bow your heads with me? You just want to do God's will. Whatever Jesus says, you want to do that. We're not through with it. As soon as we show you who changed it, you'll be clear. Then you'll know what to do. I'm going to pray for you right now that God will have mercy and that God will lead his people. Oh, precious Lord, we thank you for the truth. We thank you for your patience and your love with us. We thank you, Lord, that you never send the truth to make us feel bad. You send the truth that your children might know it and walk in it. And tonight, we've heard thy word. It has been documented in the New Testament. It is the truth as it is in Jesus. And, oh Lord, if I have been overbearing and unkind in presenting this message, I ask you to forgive me. Don't let me anger anyone to his own soul's detriment. If I have been unkind, forgive me and let the Holy Spirit apply thy message in love. But, oh Lord, this is the truth. And I therefore pray that your people who know you and who want to please you will understand your will, and that the Holy Spirit will apply this truth gently to their hearts, and that we might have the grace to walk in the light as the light is revealed. Thank you for tonight's service. Thank you for being in our midst. And now as we go home, speak to us along the way and give us grace to pray about truth and let the Lord settle it for us in our hearts. I pray that everybody here will make up his mind to do what Jesus says, regardless of the consequences, and join the millions of believers around the world that keep the Sabbath of the Lord our God. Thank you for hearing our prayer. For we ask it in Jesus' name. There is hope for you who with God's will align. There is hope for you. The Sabbath is God's sign. There is hope, I say. Just follow his design. And there is hope in Christ for you. There is hope for you on Zion's holy hill. There is hope for you. The Sabbath remaineth still. There is hope, I say. The Sabbath always will. But there is hope in Christ for you. And now may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. Cause his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. O blessed Lord, keep us safe and bring us back then, we humbly beg, in Jesus' name. Let everybody say amen. Amen. Good night, beloved. May God bless you as you go home. Pray for me. I'm praying for you.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.